I haven't felt tension like that since I got stuck in an elevator with Pat Buchanan and RuPaul.
Radio. I'm Derek Gilbert.
And I'm Sharon Gilbert, and welcome to Monday. It's February the 20th.
Yes, 2-2-0-2-0-0-6.
Yeah, so it's 2 and a 2, mm-hmm. and a 2 and a 6. So that's 2 elevens mm-hmm. that add up to
right,
22.
Okay, right.
2 thirteens that add up to 26.
You're good.
And it's President's Day. I mean, I was watching all day long to see if we would make it through the day without incident, and we did, other than, of course, the whole port thing being in the news.
Well, that's true. That's true, and various other things we'll cover in just a few minutes. Just past 7 o'clock Central Time, or rather, Bunker Standard Time, which is GMT minus 6, of course, 1 o'clock 0100 GMT, and yeah, I'm glad to see that the issue about the ports, the sale of the control of American ports, six of them, to a company owned by the government of the United Arab Emirates is starting to get some attention in the news.
What is the deal with that? Well, I know it's been run by a British company with a long, long history that goes back into the 19th century. And now that company is selling out to this Dubai-based company. Mm-hmm. And I am bothered by a company based in the United Arab Emirates, mm-hmm. and as you said, partly owned at least by the government
of the UAE, right.
And having not only the freedom to hire whomever they wish, mm-hmm. but also to have those people in a position working with Homeland mm-hmm. Security.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It is a situation that's bothering members of the United States Congress on both sides of the aisle, Republican and Democrat. Mm-hmm. But the White House seems to think that this is just okay. Hey,
yeah.
We've checked it out. It's been thoroughly vetted, and everything is okay. And Congress is really getting upset about this. Something, you made a good observation before we started recording tonight, that something may be, well, something may need to happen for President Bush in order to preserve his presidency. His approval rating in the most recent polls is down to about 29%. Now, that's Warren G. Harding territory.
That's Millard Fillmore territory.
Herbert
He's
Hoover.
He's never going to get a school named after him at
that's
this point.
That's right. Herbert Hoover might have been more popular when he left office.
J. Edgar was more popular than this.
And it is amazing for a president who had an 80-plus percent approval rating in the wake of 9/11 to be where he is right now,
yeah.
and now to be catching fire from both sides of the aisle. I thought he would catch it for the NSA spying thing more than he has. But
well, that's dying out.
It is dying out. And the Republicans who were calling for an investigation, congressional hearings into whether or not it's legal for the president to unilaterally, without oversight and without warrants, spy on American citizens, is just sort of quietly disappearing.
Mm-hmm.
Down the memory hole. And the American public, you know why? It's because the American public isn't showing any demand, isn't making any demand that the government stand up and do something about it. If Americans were as upset about the NSA spying on our overseas phone calls and mail as we were about Janet Jackson's breast flop
mm-hmm.
a couple of years ago, something would be done.
Well, I know it's trite. It's been said many times, but the old bread and circuses ploy
yes.
is working, folks.
Mm-hmm.
People want to make sure that they have their groceries at the store and they have 24 to watch.
Yeah, I was thinking that very thing. I was thinking, because we were watching Fox News before we came on tonight, and say, well, we know we've got this to worry about here in the news, and the ports are going to be turned over to Arabs, and the NSA spying on your mail. But hey, look tonight, Jack Bauer's on TV.
Yeah, and things are well. You know, as long as we can have a big brouhaha down in Louisiana.
That's right. Yep. Mardi Gras down in New Orleans, which lets us know that life is fine and back to normal. And I think you were right on the money the other night, and I should have ranted a little more along with you on in retrospect, because you're right. It makes no sense at all that here we are less than a year after the deaths of thousands, untold mm-hmm. thousands, in fact, uncounted thousands, I'm sure.
I would venture to say there are still bodies to be found.
Oh, I'm sure of it. Absolutely. I mean, I think the discovery of Barry Cowsill, of this mm-hmm. the famous Cowsills family, famous back in the 60s and early 70s anyway, 3 months after the storm
yeah.
on a dock in New Orleans is indication yeah. that there are still bodies to be found.
Yeah, and what makes me shudder is that there are entire neighborhoods that are just being plowed under.
Yes. Yeah, we can't do anything with this. We're just going to bulldoze it
yeah.
and start over. It to celebrate Mardi Gras and that atmosphere, to me, seems just absolutely
obscene.
Obscene.
Yeah.
There's no other word for it. It is obscene.
Yeah, and what kills me on Fox News, you've got Shepard Smith and his bunch mm-hmm. all saying, oh, it's great. Things are really, you know, New Orleans is coming back, baby. It's coming back. Why? Because all the bars are open?
Yeah, and because of the activity going on down there. I've been to two Mardi Gras, you know, in my younger days when I was young and stupid. And I can tell you, it is not the kind of thing I would like our daughter to ever go and do.
No.
And I am not proud of the fact that I really spent a lot of time and energy and effort to making sure I got there for those two Mardi Gras events. It was really a bacchanalia. It was obscene.
In the true sense yeah. of what a bacchanalia is.
Right.
It amazes me that Fox News, which purports to be the conservative
news voice. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
They do. Okay, let me rant on Fox News for just a little bit here. You see, this is the Monday rant. We give you the bookend rants, Monday and Friday, and then the interviews in the middle of the week. So Monday,
nice.
we're going to rant here a little bit. And again, it gets down to, you know, people being discerning. Fox News presenting itself as the conservative news choice. We've got a big chunk of the American populace that watches Fox because they believe that it espouses views that are more closer to what they hold.
They're biblical.
Yeah, yeah.
Fox is biblical. We're pretty sure about it.
You were pretty sure, yeah. That was the 11th commandment, thou shalt watch only Fox News.
Uh-huh.
And they always seem to find an opportunity whenever one presents itself to show women in lingerie. Have mm-hmm. you noticed that?
Oh, yeah. Every hour you'll have some sort of TNA.
Yes. Should CBS be showing the Victoria's Secret model walk-off? Here's a clip.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Like, if it's a bad thing, why are you showing us clips?
Well, we've got to show it to you so you can know what we're talking about.
Decadence, moral
decay.
You need to
be able to see the decadence so we can decry it.
Yeah. And here's another thing about Fox that bugs me. Do they need to come up with a graphic and a snappy slogan for every big news story that here we are for, when did the hurricanes hit? Like, was it 5 months ago? Was it that long ago already?
It was back in September.
September. So, you know, here we are months after the hurricanes have passed through. And yet every time they show New Orleans, they still show that little graphic, America's Challenge.
Well, in fact, it was used again today. Overcoming America's Challenge,
America's
New Orleans.
America's Challenge.
Back on its feet.
Now,
back on its dancing bacchanalia feet.
We feel for the people in the Gulf, and a lot of the people that I talk to in the course of business during the day are down on the Gulf Coast, because that's where a lot of work with steel pipe is done. And I've been asking guys now, as we get into this, we start moving towards spring, you know, how are things down there? Talked to a fellow in Baton Rouge yesterday. He said, it ain't never going to be the way it was. It ain't never going to be. And yet on Fox News, we look today and say, hey, look, everything's happy and gay. Throw me some beads, mister. It's
emphasis on the gay.
Yeah. America's Challenge. I mean, why
tomorrow,
do they have to brand and label every major story like that?
I don't know. I don't know. They probably got these graphic people
as
that are sitting,
get,
you know, in a little cubicle somewhere.
Right.
Please give me something to do.
As we get towards the midterm elections in November, we're going to start seeing a little graphic and a little logo that pops up every time they talk about congressional races. America's Decision, 06.
Yeah. It amazes me, though, how quickly they can come up with a little graphic and a tune, you know, to go with mm-hmm. a big story. We have a guest who's going to be on PID Radio tomorrow and Wednesday and Thursday, Scott Stevens.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to be talking about Weather Wars, which is
right.
weatherwars.info if you want to go and check him out in advance. And I'm bringing this up now because this tragedy that happened down in the Gulf Coast may not be a once-in-a-lifetime fluke.
No.
And they may rebuild that city and have it dumped on again.
Yes, and we will discuss what he found. And he'll talk about the science behind this, not just suspicions. Gee, isn't it a strange coincidence that, you know, he will talk about the science behind his belief that these were guided, that these were artificially enhanced and strengthened. And we'll talk about that bizarre number two that showed up in the middle of Hurricane Wilma's eye just before it made landfall in Florida last fall. If you don't remember that, we will show you pictures again in the show notes this week.
It was so weird looking. I'm still just, looks so phony, but we'll see what he has to say about it.
He's a professional. He's credentialed, so he would be in a position to know.
Oh, yes. He's credentialed.
Well, let's talk about something else we can rant about. We did, in fact, talk with Carl Schwartz over the weekend.
We did. That had to be one of the most disturbing conversations we've had in a long time. And, you know, we thought there for a little while that we were actually going to be giving you that information today, the interview today, because the very report that he wanted to discuss, a report that was not due to come out until March 1st, and he wanted to go ahead and get on the record as to how he felt about it before any spin began.
Right.
That report was leaked, and it's in the UK press, and I even saw it in a Tennessee paper today. Little bitty Tennessee paper.
Good for them. That may be the same Tennessee paper that printed the story about the 40,000 body bags that were shipped down to the Gulf Coast.
Probably,
the only one in the U.S. that carried that story that I saw.
It probably was. We'll have to discover that. Well, you talked to him about this story before I did, and then he sent it to us yesterday to read, this document that he knew was coming.
Mm-hmm. Yes, a gentleman in the UK named Chris Busby, who is a fellow of the Department of Human Anatomy and Cell Biology at Liverpool University, has written a paper which was going to be delivered and will still be delivered at a press conference on the steps of the Centers for Disease Control in Atlanta on the morning of March 1st.
Mm-hmm. That is as of today.
That may change.
Then,
right.
Who knows?
But it did get into the papers yesterday in the UK. The Telegraph picked up on it. The Times of London picked up on it. There were a number of others. And so, we're bringing it out now because we think this deserves to be talked about. We talked a little bit about depleted uranium with Carl Schwartz before, and he discussed the guilt of the Clinton administration and the George H.W. Bush administration in using depleted uranium munitions in Afghanistan, in Bosnia, in Kosovo, in Serbia, and now in Iraq, and the health risks that this DU was causing to American and coalition troops, not to mention the people who live in those countries that are being bombarded with this these DU munitions. What's really disturbing is that Chris Busby approached the British government through a Freedom of Information Act type of law in the UK. And under this Freedom of Information guidelines, there was able to get data from radiation sensors that are stationed outside the atomic, what do they call it, the Atomic Weapons Establishment in Berkshire.
Yeah, the AWE.
Right, AWE. And so what he found was very disturbing, that there were spikes in the radioactivity recorded that correspond to the Battle of Baghdad in 2003, in which we deployed and used a lot of depleted uranium.
I would say
there was about a 9-day lag, but what he found, and then when he started analyzing this data, that there were smaller spikes that corresponded with the Battle for Fallujah, and going back further in time, with the battle for Grozny in Chechnya, when the Russians went in to put down the rebellion there.
Mm-hmm.
What does this mean? Well, we know that when depleted uranium munitions hit targets, they ignite, and it creates an aerosol. And the uranium basically blows off in a cloud of nanoparticulates, smaller than 5 microns, meaning you can inhale them into your lungs, and then they pass it. They can pass into your bloodstream.
Mm-hmm.
And
they can also pass the placental barrier.
Right, which means it can affect the children.
Mm-hmm.
These, once they're in the body, take the form of urinal ions, which bind to phosphates. Phosphates are one of the primary components that make up the spiral of DNA.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got this radioactive material that shows an affinity for binding to your genetic material and to the genetic material of an unborn child.
Mm-hmm.
That is why in the paper that Mr. Busby has put out, you also see, well, actually, he didn't cover that in the paper, but we've found other information.
Didn't. Essentially, what the paper says is that what goes on there affects here.
That's summarizing in a nutshell. I was taking it, you know, much too detailed. The bottom line is what happened in Iraq, what happened in Afghanistan, that dust is blowing a long, mm-hmm. long way. It's about 2,700 miles from Baghdad to mm-hmm. Berkshire.
Yeah, so there are a lot of people, and frankly, you know, we could fall into that category too, the not in my backyard bunch. We really do need a nice toxic waste dump,
mm-hmm.
you know, somewhere, because it's got to be, you got to get rid of it, but please not near me, not in
mm-hmm.
my backyard.
Right.
That attitude. Well, folks, our world is getting smaller, and when it comes to this sort of stuff, if it takes place in Iraq, and we dumped tons, I have heard as much as 800 tons, if mm-hmm. not more, of depleted uranium during the opening days, the opening salvos in March of 2003.
Mm-hmm.
That has caught up in tiny, tiny aerosolized particles, some charge that actually hitch rides on dust particles, and they can go around the world.
Now, the government of the UK has responded to this and said that clearly this is rubbish. That's the exact words of one of the government spokesmen there. But these same storms that took place in early 2003 while the battle for Baghdad was going on also carried sand from the Sahara Desert to the UK.
Mm-hmm.
Now, sand is larger.
Yeah, much larger
than 5 microns. So it's not impossible. In fact, it is very possible. And when you see the charts in this paper, and we'll put a link to the PDF file so that you can download this PDF file. It's about 16 pages. Some of the graphs are a little tough to digest, but there's no denying when you see the spikes and then you look at the timeline and look at the timing of the battles that were taking place, when those munitions were being used, there's a clear correlation. Then the question becomes, okay, now, what does it mean that we're getting this radioactive dust blown all around the planet? Well, then we start looking at other information, and you see that studies have been done on the number of birth defects reported in Basra in the southern mm-hmm. part of Iraq, and how after the first Gulf War, the number of incidents of birth defects reported in Basra has skyrocketed.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an anomaly.
Yeah, and don't be fooled by the name depleted uranium. It is not free of radioactivity.
No, it is not.
In fact, it's about 58% to 60% of the radioactivity
yes.
of normal, you know, of enriched uranium. It is a dangerous, dangerous thing. Plus, because it goes through the enrichment process, it picks up heavy metals that would not have been there otherwise.
Plutonium, neptunium,
americium, which I think is ironic.
Yeah. Things that don't occur in nature.
These are bad things, and they do more than just hurt your unborn mm-hmm. children and may muck with your DNA. They also can cause all sorts of neurological and rheumatoid problems. You know, fibromyalgia may actually have a cause.
Yeah, and Gulf War syndrome.
May actually have a cause, yes. Which is, there's also a Bosnia syndrome, or Serbian, or
mm-hmm.
it has one of the other names.
Right.
There are some nasty things going around, and you know what? DU is dumb.
Yeah. It is going to be, well, we hope this is a story that has legs. We have yet to see it picked up in the American press, but the story has only been out there for about a day.
Mm-hmm.
The UK government is already in full spin mode. The British Royal Society, which is their official science governing body there, actually came out and said, well, you know, it's possible that the dust from the battles in Baghdad did get kicked up and carried over here, but it probably just kicked up uranium that was naturally occurring in the environment and carried it over, and that's what caused the spike in radioactivity.
Nope, they can tell the difference.
Yeah.
It is not the same thing.
Yeah. And before, you know, I did mention this to one fellow who said, well, you know, this guy, Chris Busby, is part of a group called Green Audit, which is an environmental activist group in the UK.
Well, good for them.
Yeah, well, he took that to mean automatically that, well, okay, these guys are the only ones who detected this radioactivity problem. Clearly, they have an agenda, so we can't trust the information. No, no, no. This information was requested and received from the Department of Defense.
Yeah, the Defense Ministry.
The Ministry of Defense in the UK are the ones who released this information. They are the ones who detected this. They're just... they didn't connect the dots because they didn't want those dots connected. They,
right.
Well, ignore the spike in the chart here and the fact that it happened the week after we bombed the snot out of Baghdad
mm-hmm.
with depleted uranium.
Yep.
So, anyway, that's our rant for today. And we are going to air that interview with Carl Schwartz beginning next Wednesday, March 1st.
The reason we are waiting until March 1st.
Yes.
Even though this story has already broken, is a courtesy to Carl. And he had made other commitments that same day.
Right.
And rather than jump the gun with an interview that we already have
yeah.
and others that he plans on doing live,
mm-hmm.
To be courteous to those, you know, media
right.
that he's already promised, we're going to hold off until we'll post this on Wednesday morning.
Right.
March
and we'll also post links to his other interviews that day because we think that his information deserves to be heard. And we
it
don't
does.
Care if you hear it here on PID Radio or if you hear it on, you know, RBN or anywhere else.
Yeah, and the fact is somebody else may ask better questions, and I'm
sure.
always open to that. So
absolutely.
We like to listen to other people, too.
So,
so there you go. We ranted about DU. DU dumb.
Mm-hmm. And as long as we're talking about war in the Middle East, we might as well continue on. I see that American officials have been sending quiet inquiries to Georgia, which is the country just to the northwest. No, it's the country just to the northwest of Iran, the country in which we helped to fund the Rose Revolution, which got their president elected.
Georgia that is ticked off at Russia right now.
Mm-hmm.
Georgia where we have somebody in charge that's on our team.
That's right. Somebody who's willing to
play ball.
So we are looking for military bases next door to Iran from which we can launch airstrikes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. A Georgian government foreign affairs official, speaking off the record, spoke to somebody at the Jerusalem Post about this and said that we are looking for a place from which we can launch a strike to take out whatever nuclear capacity Iran has already developed. So, again, just one more piece of the puzzle as the drumbeat of war continues toward Iran. In fact, Congressman Ron Paul stood up in Congress today and delivered a speech. And he was speaking about a certain bill, and I have to confess, I'm not familiar with the bill that he was talking about, but the bill was condemning Iran, I think, for continuing to, its announcement that it was going to continue enriching uranium or something of that nature. But the point was that Ron Paul of Texas stood up and said, let's stop this drumbeat for war. We don't need to do this.
Hmm.
And so I just wanted to, you know, tip the headphones to Congressman Paul for once again standing up and running counter to the direction of the Republican Party right now.
Yeah. Yeah, and again, we don't want anybody out there to think, oh, well, you know, those Gilberts, they're just such doves. And they're no, you know what? I wanted to join the military when I was in high school. My mm-hmm. dad said no. My dad served in the Navy. I wanted to join the waves. He had been through it. He had seen it firsthand. He watched horrible things happen to women who were serving in the military, and he said no. And even when I met Derek, I still had just finished, I just started graduate school, but my plan had been to go to medical school, and the Navy was going to pick up the bill.
Mm.
I had planned to become a doctor, and mm-hmm. I'd be in the Gulf right now, probably.
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 Yeah.
And so it's not fear. I have no fear of that kind of stuff.
No.
It's just that there are times when you serve, times when you go, and times when you don't.
Yes. And we have all the respect in the world for the military. In fact, we've gotten some very nice emails from listeners who are in the military right now. And we don't say often enough, and we want to do it now, that we thank you for listening, and we thank you especially for your service. You know, I've got two cousins who, mm-hmm. who served in the military. My dad's two older brothers both served in the military, and he would have, except that he reached draft age just as they were starting to muster guys out from the Korean War.
Yeah.
His father, my grandfather, served in World War I. I mean, all the way back to the American Revolution, we've had, you know, family members serving in the military. So it's not...
I think overall, Americans are very Well, the word we often use is patriotic, mm-hmm. in that we are willing to, even if it means sending our children over,
yes.
to, quote-unquote, fight for freedom.
Mm-hmm.
However, it's starting to look like we're not over there fighting for freedom.
Right.
So if we're not doing that, if we're not genuinely going over to help out, mm-hmm. you know, someone who is in desperate need and cannot, you know, help himself or herself.
Right.
Then we should not be there.
That is correct. And it's interesting that the New York Times today ran a piece by Francis Fukuyama, who was a very influential political professor and influential neocon. If you can find this on the web, you'll have to register to read it at New York Times. It's free. It's just annoying. But it's an excerpt from a book that he's got coming out in the spring. And I only got through the first two pages, but the take that I had on his article was that it represents his break from the neocons, in which he says, "And wait a minute, now, the people in the heartland who are sending their children off to war do so gladly because, as you say, their belief is that the kids are fighting for freedom. They're, mm-hmm. We're fighting to give other people the freedom that we enjoy here in the United
exactly.
States. And Americans, those people in the heartland, are beginning to realize that that's not the case, that we're over there fighting for Unocal, we're fighting for Mobile Exxon, we're fighting for Halliburton,
mm-hmm.
and we're not as free over here as we would like to think to begin with. So what's going to happen, he thinks, is that those moms and pops who are allowing their 18-year-old sons and daughters to volunteer are going to say no.
They're going to pull a Peter Fincher. Was that the name of the actor
yes.
from the network that we played on Friday?
Mad as hell, not going to take it anymore. And they're going to demand that their kids be brought home, and they're going to demand that we keep our noses out of business overseas. Now, considering that the point of being over there is not to ensure America's oil supply, but to ensure that we control everyone else's oil supply,
mm-hmm.
it's going to make it difficult for the oligarchs to achieve that goal mm-hmm. when mom and pop America don't want to let their kids go over there and fight their battles.
It really is. And you and I were talking about this earlier. And, you know, it sounds like, oh, okay, well, you know, if they don't have a lot of young people signing up, then, well, I guess they won't be able to send as many people over there. Wrong.
That's right.
There's a draft bill that's been sitting in Congress just waiting to come out.
Tabled in committee, just waiting for the opportunity
to come
out.
It was written in January of 2003, I think.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
2002 or 2003, I can't remember which, by Charlie Rangel.
A Democrat. Gee, isn't that a surprise?
Yeah.
They're on the same side. He explained it at the time as saying it was to make a point.
Yes.
To show that Republicans in Congress didn't want their kids to go off to war, that they were more than happy to send the children of kids in the lower classes,
mm-hmm.
not just, you know, urban kids, but also poorer kids from, mm-hmm. say, Appalachia or
so,
smaller
Charlie,
farm communities.
So, Charlie, if your child's number came up,
is your kid going to go?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think his point was that nobody really wants a draft, and maybe we ought to think about what we're doing before we have to implement the draft. But you make a good point. If push comes to shove and something will happen to demonstrate a need, there will be another hit on American soil.
Mm-hmm.
And that will prove that we need to keep those kids coming in to feed the beast and send them over to maintain the American empire. We have become the new Rome.
Well, I've heard that phrase before, Pax Americana.
Mm-hmm. We've got troops stationed in, 80% of the countries around the world?
Yeah. Funny, though, that PAX, which is peace
mm-hmm.
in Latin.
Is pronounced pox. A pox on both our houses.
I know. I was saying it should be spelled P-O-X.
Friday, I wanted to mention this. On Friday, we talked about that story with the 14-year-old boy who was apparently beaten to death, at a youth facility in Florida called
yes.
the Bay State Boot Camp. And I was trying to think of a connection. There was something in the back of my mind that was ringing, and I didn't quite... I was right. It didn't quite connect. But there was an organization in Florida that operated there for about 20 years called Straight Incorporated. And it was, in fact, a program that was supposed to scare kids off of drugs, more or less. But it turned out that there were a number of abuses that were taking place. They wound up changing their names and so forth. So I won't get into the whole story here, but Jeff Wells at his blog, and there are a couple of other very good articles that are very detailed on the web about it. In fact, there's a website devoted to survivors of this organization called The Straits, STRAIGHTS.com, thestraits.com, and you can read about that organization there. But it had no connection to the story we were talking about Friday night. I just didn't want to leave that thread hanging on Friday.
Good idea. Good idea.
And
well, you've been talking, I've been checking on the Military Service Act. I can't find it at this moment as we're doing that, but I'll keep looking. But we saw it. I'm looking on thomas.loc.gov if you mm-hmm. want to go there. Thomas Library of Congress. It's a great place to see what happened in Congress today.
Yeah, one of the things that we talked about before, and I looked this up while we were talking with Scott Stevens over the weekend, we had talked about a weather modification bill that had been introduced by Senator Kay Bailey Hutchinson of Texas
mm-hmm.
last March. And, of course, the date struck us as significant because it was, I think, 3/13. And the bill was Senate Bill 517, which, of course, also adds up to 13.
Yes.
But it was to create a government agency that would fund research into weather modification techniques and how uh-huh. it could be done. And in December, she got a note from the President's Office of Science and Technology Policy saying, hold off on this bill until we have a chance to study it with the Department of State and the Department of Defense and the Department of Commerce.
Yep, yep. Well, it's a good way to stall a bill.
It is a good way to stall a bill. But one of the lines in that letter was interesting. It added that they also want to discuss and review the reasons that America abandoned its weather modification program previously.
Well, as you'll find tomorrow, Wednesday and Thursday, that program started out a long, long time ago.
And like many other programs that have been abandoned, in quoting marks, they aren't really abandoned, just sort of moved to black budget.
Black budget?
Yeah, where there ain't, oh, black budget, give that money. And there is no congressional oversight on those programs. Oh, one other note I want to mention regarding the encoding of the show.
Oh, yeah. I'm glad you brought that up.
We've had a couple of notes over the year that we've been doing this, giving advice and suggestions on how to encode the program. And occasionally we'll get a note from someone who has trouble playing back the program on a handheld, like an MP3 player.
Yeah.
Or a PDA with an MP3 player mm-hmm. built in. And some of the older MP3 devices were designed so that they could only handle encoding at certain bit rates, either 11 kilohertz, 22, or 44 kilohertz. Mm-hmm. And apparently Dell, with its what they call the Pocket DJ, some of the earlier ones, couldn't handle anything encoded at under 22 kilohertz.
Mm-hmm.
We tried encoding at 22 kilohertz. And long story short, it basically created these weird metallic-sounding artifacts that were driving me nuts.
Right, to get the clean sound, the cleanest sound that
right.
we can for the smallest file.
Right. We've gone to a variable bit rate encoding, which all computers can handle.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you've got iTunes in your computer or Music Match or Winamp mm-hmm. or whatever, you can handle it. You can listen to it on your computer. If you've got a newer MP3 player, like any of the iPods or the newer
The
Dells or the Creative mm-hmm. Nomads or whatever, they can handle it.
Nomads.
Some of the older, yeah.
Nomad.
Some of the older MP3 players may not be able to handle it. But sadly, I think to achieve the smallest file size and yet make the compromise between small file size and good audio, we're mm-hmm. going to go with the variable bit rate. So if you're having trouble on a portable MP3 player, I'm just going to have to ask you to re-encode it using iTunes or something at the bit rate that's compatible with your MP3 player.
Yeah, and we apologize for that. You know what? We're in the minority. We're Mac people. We know how it is to have things not written for us. And
it's like being left-handed, sort of.
And we really do try to help everybody out. But the fact is that we have to do it in a way that's the best quality, and nearly everybody is going to be able to hear it at the way Derek's encoding it now. Actually, you were. You just kind of experimented with something to try to help a few people out. But
right, yeah.
And we really can't afford the space. or the bandwidth to put up two variations, two types. And I think it could get confusing, too.
Yeah, getting the high bandwidth, the low bandwidth? You know, and we may eventually at some point get to where we're offering a high bandwidth version, but that's down the road. We don't want to think about that right now.
Yeah, that would really be,
Anyway, I just want to let you know, in case you're one of the few who's having a problem listening to this on a portable MP3 player, it's because we've gone to the variable bitrate encoding, which gives us, like I said, the nice compromise of a small file size without that kind of that flanging effect, that artifact in there that was really just annoying.
Yeah.
So
80s.
Well, thank you for listening. And again, make sure you're here tomorrow when we begin our three-part interview with Scott Stevens of weatherwars.info. It's very intriguing information. And again, he'll give us some of the science behind what has been going on weather-wise over the last couple of years.
You know, he's a really interesting guy. He's a lot of fun to talk to. And just tons of information, and I'm looking forward to the day when we have him back, which I hope is soon.
Yep, absolutely.
So tomorrow, and in the meanwhile, I'm Sharon Gilbert.
I'm Derek Gilbert. Thanks for listening to PID Radio.
Bye, everybody.
Gonna step up to the microphone.